more than 300 newspapers published editorials today to voice their support for a free press. The move was coordinated by the Boston Globe after President Trump heightened his rhetoric towards the media, calling them the, quote, enemy of the people, and saying they were, quote, dangerous and sick. Papers participated across the country and some right here in Wisconsin. An editorial today from the Chippewa Herald starts by saying it's the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, it governs our rights as citizens, and it's straightforward. The Rivertown Editorial Board in New Richmond said the power of the Fourth Estate and representative government only exists when a free people knows what their elected government has done. And at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, the editorial board pointed to the paper's reporting on attempts to limit Wisconsin's open records law, saying it was a vivid example of why our democracy requires a watchdog to keep an eye on the powerful. With us now to talk about this and President Trump's relationship with the media is Courtney Radge, Director of Advocacy for the Committee to Protect Journalists. Courtney, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Thanks so much.
The Boston Globe put out this call recently to publish editorials supporting the free press. What kind of response did they get and what were they expecting?
Well, I think that we saw the response from President Trump on Twitter. It was pretty interesting to see a tweet accusing the press of colluding or of collusion for free press. Thought that was an interesting way to put it. I think what this initiative was an effort, you know, to show solidarity among journalists, because we know that, you know, an individual journalist may not be powerfully, but, you know, perhaps the media could have an impact by speaking with a single voice on a critical issue like press freedom, and perhaps compel the president to listen. I think he heard, but I don't know if he really got the message.
Were there members of the media who disagreed with this move, who thought that this was not the right approach?
My understanding is that there were some media outlets that didn't go ahead and participate in this, which is absolutely their choice. You know, I think it was a call. It wasn't certainly a mandate. I think the Wall Street Journal and San Francisco Chronicle, from what I read, decided not to participate, which is absolutely their right. What we did at the Committee to Protect Journalists is we did put something on our front page, an editorial statement, and we also made sure to provide editorial writers and editors with information from our U.S. Press Freedom Tracker, which is an initiative of 30 organizations around the United States to systematically track press freedom and threats against journalists, as well as data from our systematic tracking of journalists who are killed, imprisoned, and attacked around the world.
Now, this is not really new, this opposition to the media, to what he terms fake news, was part of then-candidate Trump's platform and rhetoric, and now President Trump's approach. Why now? Why did the Boston Globe feel like this was the time that they needed to kind of rally the troops?
You know, I think that's a great question for the Boston Globe. I know that there has been ongoing rhetoric from President Trump. There have been, you know, political rallies where he has singled out individual reporters and media organizations. And, you know, as the Committee to Protect Journalists, we're concerned about that because, you know, the vilification of individual journalists and media can make them less safe. In terms of why the Boston Globe chose today, I think you'd have to ask them that specific question.
Now, some supporters of President Trump have said that this just shows and proves that the media really is the opposition party. Is there a danger, do you think, in playing into that idea?
I think that there is a danger in equating journalism with being the enemy of the people or with opposition. The fact is that journalists are working on behalf of the public. They are the ones who are uncovering corruption in local politics, who are, you know, revealing, sex abuse scandals in the Catholic Church, you know, what's happening in Flint, Michigan with the water there. So, you know, it doesn't really make sense to me about looking at the media as the opposition. I think that, you know, we have to understand that journalists play a critical role in our democratic governance system. They are an independent check on power. They ensure a level of transparency that many times the government is not forthcoming with information. And so it's kind of sad to see this oppositional frame, especially when we're seeing that a record number of journalists were killed this year in the United States.
Let's talk about that for a moment. How many journalists were killed last year, and what were some of the situations that involved those deaths?
Yeah, so this year we actually saw a record number of journalists killed in the U.S. There were four journalists as well as a media worker killed in the Capital Gazette shooting in Maryland, right up the street from where I am. And a blogger was gunned down in Chicago under very mysterious circumstances. So that makes the number of killings in the United States, it means that we are now the third deadliest country in 2018 for journalists, right behind Afghanistan and Syria.
So two places that have open ongoing conflicts and then us.
Right. And that's pretty unusual. You know, we don't typically see journalists being killed in the United States in relation to their work. There were two journalists killed, as you'll recall, on air a couple of years ago. But, you know, the murder and killing of journalists in the United States, thankfully, is pretty rare.
There are reports of some American journalists using security guards when they are covering Trump rallies. Does that concern you, that especially given the statistics that you just gave, that some reporters are feeling the need to take those steps here in the U.S.?
Yeah, it is definitely concerning. And in our reporting, we have reported on how journalists who are covering white nationalism and the far right, it's quite a dangerous beat. We've documented threats both online and offline to reporters who cover that movement. We've also documented how journalists of color face a unique set of threats when they're covering protests. So we know, you know, it's a volatile time for the press, and it's concerning when journalists feel that they need to have security guards. On the other hand, we also think that, you know, we want journalists to be prepared and to understand their threats, and so it's, you know, ultimately hopefully a good thing if it's keeping them safer.
We're talking with Courtney Radd. She's Director of Advocacy for the Committee to Protect Journalists. And we're talking about the coordinated editorials today, more than 300 newspapers printing editorials in support of a free press. And the United States has, for a long time, Courtney, been an advocate of press freedom around the world. How would you gauge this rhetoric and it being a message that is being repeated by supporters of the president that the media is the enemy of the people? How is that rippling around the globe?
We are seeing a significant impact around the globe because typically the United States has been a leader in press freedom. And so instead of using the platform that the United States and the president has to promote press freedom, to support First Amendment values around the world, we're seeing that the rhetoric around fake news is having a horrific influence around the world in countries from, you know, China and Iran and Russia, which frankly do not need an excuse to crack down on the press because they are some of the worst places to be a journalist. But they're happy to have the excuse of pointing to the rhetoric from, you know, emanating from President Trump and other officials. And we're seeing it in countries as varied as Poland and Hungary and Malaysia, where there are really disturbing developments in terms of restrictions of press freedom. So this, you know, effort to combat fake news is actually being used as an excuse to clamp down on investigative reporting, on independent reporting, on critical reporting. And we have evidence of this in our data because we systematically track the imprisonment of journalists. And in our 2016 census, it showed that 9 journalists were imprisoned in 2 countries around the world on false news charges. And then in 2017, this number went up to historic levels to 21 journalists in 6 countries. And we're seeing that around the world, leaders are interested in adopting fake news legislation to rein in the press.
And have you also seen those world leaders who have been hostile to the press actually using the words of President Trump to make their own cases?
Oh, we have. Yes, I have a running document where I actually keep track of this because it's so disturbing. We saw in Myanmar, for example, the use of the term fake news to dismiss reports of what the United Nations has called a textbook case of ethnic cleansing. We saw this in China, where the official news agency pointed to restrictions on access and to the enemies of the people and fake news rhetoric to say, see, we've been telling you this for years, and glad to see now that the US agrees with us. I mean, literally around the world, we are seeing that this rhetoric really resonates and has been used as justification for a wide range of restrictions on the press.
We're talking with Courtney Redge right now. She's director of advocacy for the Committee to Protect Journalists. And we're talking about President Trump's attacks on the media and how and if journalists should respond. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What do you think of the hundreds of papers that published editorials supporting a free press today? Do you think that that was an appropriate response from the media, or do you think it was a bad move? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or you can send us an email at ideas@wpr.org. We'll continue the conversation in just a bit here on Central Time. We're continuing our conversation about the media and President Trump with Courtney Redge, Director of Advocacy for the Committee to Protect Journalists. We want to hear your thoughts at 800-642-1234. What, if anything, should the media do when the president calls them the enemy of the people? What do you think about the president's rhetoric about the press? Do you support your local newspaper? What about journalism as a whole? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. And let's go to the phones. And Aaron in Sturgeon Bay is up. Hi, Aaron.
Hello, thank you for taking my call. I want to, first of all, say that I am all for a free press. I think a free press is very important. However, with the advent of Project Mockingbird starting back in the 60s, the CIA gives talking points at 4 a.m. to all the major news networks, and this is not the first coordinated attack against the president. I would also like to point out the coordinated attack against QAnon, QAnon.app, who's giving very high, excellent intel to the American people to prepare them for what's coming. And what's coming is, and also journalists, I've seen journalists on television call for the assassination of President Trump. And I think that is horrible. But they're also engaged in this pedophile network and Satanism. So we're going to see a lot of things come out very shortly.
And thanks for that call, Aaron. So Aaron sees this as a coordinated attack on President Trump. Courtney, how would you respond?
I don't think that this is about attacking any individual. I think it is about standing up for a fundamental principle of American democracy that is enshrined in our First Amendment, as well as for international human rights values, which are enshrined in Article 19 of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. I used to work in a newspaper, never got any calls about what to publish. I think that journalists would take offense to that. But I think the key to focus on is this is not about attacking a president. This is about standing up for a fundamental human right and a fundamental American principle.
Courtney, American presidents have had historically tense relationships with the press, at least at various points in the presidencies. How would you compare President Trump's record to past presidents of maybe the last century?
Well, you know, President Obama had some major issues with the press. So President Obama used the Espionage Act more than all other administrations combined in his effort to crack down on leakers and whistleblowers. And that had a very detrimental impact on the press. One of my colleagues from the New York Times, James Risen, you know, faced a subpoena to turn over his confidential sources. We also saw Obama preside over a mass surveillance program with significant implications, negative implications for journalists and the ability of them to do their work and protect their sources. You know, every administration has a challenging relationship with the press. And I think what I've seen over my career as a journalist and as a press freedom advocate is that each successive presidency has sought to control information and control access and control the message. And of course, that can become more difficult with social media and with the internet, et cetera. So a lot of what we're seeing in terms of trends here and in terms of what's happening on the ground with journalism are things that happened prior to this administration. But what we're seeing is a convergence of trends, including, you know, the economic constriction of the media in terms of, you know, restrictions on access. So, but what's different here is the incendiary rhetoric that is aimed at individual journalists and at media outlets, and the online harassment, and then, of course, the lack of standing up for this principle globally and therefore withdrawing from world leadership.
Let's go back to the phones, and Chris in Milwaukee is up. Hi, Chris.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Hi. I was listening, and what, I just wanted to call in and make the comment that it seems as though you'll hear these debates about Trump in the media and how he is creating this negative feeling about the media. And in my mind, that has been there for some time. He may have been a lightning rod. He may have drawn a lot of eyes towards that. But for a lot of us, we have been distrusting the media for a long time. In fact, it's kind of bothersome that Trump does get all the credit, because it's bigger than him. And there is a level of biasness. I was just telling your screener that I moved back to Wisconsin from Chicago after about 12 years. And one of my favorite things is Wisconsin Public Radio. It's just an awesome public radio. It's when you move outside of the state, you quickly realize just how great Wisconsin Public Radio is, you know, with Mueller and all the other shows that you have. The thing of it is, though, is that I do run conservative, and I am very conscious to the level of biasness that you hear in Wisconsin Public Radio. It's very thick. And in my mind, I feel as though Wisconsin Public Radio should be holding the lantern, or be holding the torch for unbiasedness. That there should almost be they should set the standard, and it's not true. It's not true at all. It's a very biased way of looking at things. And for someone who watched the debates and would see how it was being reported, it was almost as though with the last presidential election, it was like somebody was watching a completely different debate than I was.
And Chris, I'm going to need to stop you there just so we have time. Courtney, so there is a perception that people see the same thing, and the media might report it one way and their perception was completely different.
Well, so I think the caller actually made two great points that highlight some important trends. One is the decline in trust in the media is not new. Absolutely. We did the first ever press freedom mission, basically an international group of press freedom organizations, fact-finding mission for the first time in the United States. We went to Missouri, Texas, and Washington, D.C. in order to talk to journalists, understand the, you know, challenges that they're facing. And we heard that across the board, that this trust issue is not new. So completely agree on that. And this issue of kind of the differentiation between local media and the media, I think that's something we also hear, that in general, people trust their local media, they know them, but that, you know, the national media, or kind of the media as an entity, is less trusted. But of course, with the, you know, challenges facing local news organizations, and, you know, the decline in the number of reporters who are able to cover local communities, you know, that has an impact on trust as well.
Let's take a quick call from Rich in Fall River. Hi, Rich. Rich?
Hi.
Go ahead.
Yes, I am kind of agreeing with a lot of the other callers. I think there is a big distrust in the media. I think it's at like 70% of the people that distrust the media at this point. And I think it's not an attack on media itself. We're all for free press. It's attack on truly real fake news, misreported, misrepresented, biased news. And that is an enemy to the people. I think the people should be getting true factual news that is unbiased in any means, you know, completely unbiased.
And we're running short on time, Rich. I want Courtney to have a chance to respond to that. So, Courtney, what responsibility do journalists have to be transparent about how they're doing their job and why they should be trusted?
I think that's a great question, and I think we've seen a lot of initiatives by news organizations to open up the news gathering process, open up how journalism is done so that the public can have a better understanding. But it's interesting because having worked as a journalist in the Middle East and also looking at having lived in Europe where you have a very partisan press, you know, there are various different types of systems, and I think it's also incumbent upon, you know, viewers and readers to understand the perspective that the media is offering. And, you know, it's fair enough to say that the media, you know, have various different perspectives. But I think the key is journalists should not be put at risk, and that when you have the president targeting individual reporters and media organizations, you know, that is not something that should be acceptable. And we see that there is an impact, you know, around the world and in our own community.
And Courtney, we'll leave it there. That was Courtney Raj, Director of Advocacy for the Committee to Protect Journalists. She was talking with us about President Trump and the media as hundreds of newspapers came out today with editorials supporting a free press. Coming up tomorrow on Central Time, we'll take a look at the college-aged conservatives, how they feel about President Trump, and whether that generation differs from their parents. And a WPR staffer joins us from vacation to give us an on-the-ground report from an iconic tourist site that celebrates a big anniversary.